Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Finding some green space in a sea of gray, today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. It is great to have you all back today here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Today, we are continuing an article that we started yesterday. It's our architecture lesson for the month, and I am so grateful to be joined by Linda.
Hi, Garrett. It is great to be back. I like talking about architecture and art, and so I am happy to continue this article with you.
Well, I'm glad to have you. I think architecture and art are interesting, but I don't feel like I know a ton about them.
But you did learn some things from our discussion yesterday, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We learned all about adaptive reuse projects, specifically one in the city of Buenos Aires in Argentina called Ola Palermo. And as we get started today, I want to talk about something that we will talk more about later in our article, and that is zoning. Now, this is something that cities and city planners talk about a lot. In a city, people don't just build whatever kind of building in whatever kind of space. There are certain zones or areas that are set aside for specific purposes.
Exactly. For example, there are areas or zones specifically for residential areas for housing where people will live. And then there are parts for commercial use where you would build businesses. So the two aren't usually intermixed. There's usually a specific area for both. And sometimes they might be next to each other, but that particular zone is for a specific purpose.
Exactly. Now, I'll get a little bit geeky here and bring up a video game. Linda, have you ever played a game like SimCity?
No, I haven't, but okay. I'm not a video game player.
That's fine. It's not a traditional game where you're grabbing a controller and shooting things. It's actually, I think it's the only video game I've ever really seen my dad playing. He got really into it back in like 2000.
Okay.
It was called SimCity 2000.
Is it about building cities?
It's kind of about city planning.
Okay.
You're trying to start a small city and grow it. You need to focus on like power lines, water and like sewage infrastructure. And then you set up kind of zoning in different areas. You need to think about where the residential areas, the commercial areas are. And if they're not close to the resources they need, no one will move in and kind of fill out those areas.
Right. So there are a lot of factors you have to think about, right?
There's a lot. I was terrible at it. There was a button where you could have like aliens attack the city. It was totally unrelated to the rest of the game, but I thought it was funny. But with this conversation, I'll let you know where I'm going with it. I wanted to ask you, Linda, what kind of city do you like to live in? Would you prefer to live in a city with really separated zoning, really clear kind of separations between residential, industrial, and commercial, or more of a mix?
Well, I grew up in Miami, and the part that wasn't downtown Miami, so it was very clear that I lived in a residential area. So things were separated. But I think I would just want to stay out of the city. I mean, I do really like Taipei. I think it's a good mix. But at the same time, I'm not living right in the city center. So that allows me to not experience like the hustle and bustle of a city, which I don't really like. So maybe I would prefer the separation.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's very true of a lot of American cities, whereas things can be a bit bit more mixed in, well, much bigger cities, obviously the city center. I think where we both live, there's a lot of mixture between residential and commercial, but industrial areas are quite separated.
Exactly.
Which is great for our health,
exactly.
I would say.
Yeah. I don't think anybody wants to live near in an industrial area.
Well, the place where I used to live, also on the island here, did feel a little bit more of a mix with those things. It was kind of a residential area. People lived there. There were small shops and restaurants, but also small factories kind of mixed in with that.
Okay.
And I really didn't care for that part of it.
Yeah.
Of course, people were working hard and making the most of the space they had, but it really does affect the kind of the environment around you.
Yeah, and I'm sure the air as well, like
Definitely.
The air that you're breathing.
All right. So friends, you can think about that. What does the area that you live in, what does it look like? What is the zoning like? How has the city decided to separate these different areas? Well, as we think about that, we're going to jump into our article to learn more about Ola Palermo.
To top it all off, the roof afforded a clear 360-degree view. On one side, you could see through Palermo Woods all the way to downtown Buenos Aires. On the other, there's a private racetrack and polo fields that people can visit only if they have exclusive memberships. On one side, you have the haves, and on the other, you have everybody else. And this is smack dab in between the two, says Chen. He saw the rooftop as an opportunity to turn the tables and allow the park's visitors to look down on the exclusive grounds and catch a free glimpse of any events that take place there.
All right, thank you to Campbell for reading that for us. So we learn a bit more about the area around Ola Palermo here. If you walk up to that roof and walk around the promenade, you can see a lot of nice things. Go for a leisurely walk and here see a clear 360-degree view.
Right. Your view is not blocked at all. You can see on all sides 360.
Exactly. All right. Well, we learn about one of those sides. You could see through Palermo Woods all the way to downtown Buenos Aires. Again, we encourage you to maybe look at a map if you enjoy that kind of spatial thinking. It seems to me that it's not too far from downtown Buenos Aires.
No.
But it's not right in the center.
Right. So it's a little outside the city center, but it's still very close to Buenos Aires, the capital. And it's a little north of the city. And so the park, Palermo Woods, or this 3rd of February park, is in between the parking, or well, Ola Palermo and downtown. So you can actually see downtown if you're looking in that direction.
Right. So that's on one side of this building. And on the other side, there's a private racetrack and polo fields that people can visit only if they have exclusive memberships. Yes, these are not things that just anyone could go and visit. Actually, there is a fun word that we use for a racetrack like that. It's a racetrack mostly for horses, and that's called a hippodrome. I always liked that word.
Yes, it sounds like it. Ancient word, ancient Greek or like
Roman,
hippo,
maybe.
Yeah. A Roman, right, yeah. And that's like an oval-shaped track that the horses will run around.
Exactly. So that would be a popular place to go for these exclusive members. They also have polo fields. Linda, are we talking about water polo here?
No, we are talking about the polo that you play on land. And they play on horseback. So the two teams on horses, and they have sticks, or is there another word for that?
I don't
stick?
Know.
Okay.
Clubs, maybe?
Yeah, maybe it's a club. And they hit the ball with their club from being on horseback and try to get it to the other side. So
right.
I've never seen a polo match, only on TV or only, you know, pictures of it, but it's a sport that wealthy people go to.
Yeah, that is kind of the idea around it. You could see images of like British royalty mm-hmm. playing the sport.
Yes.
I've never seen a match before. I know they had them in the city I lived in college. So I had friends that went, but I was not in the exclusive member class, you could say.
Yes. And you need exclusive membership to go to watch these polo matches or to watch these horse races.
All right. So we have these two sides. You have the park on one side and these fancy polo fields on the other. And we have an interesting way of describing that. Here we see another quote. On one side, you have the haves, and on the other, you have everybody else. There's a phrase we use for that, the haves and the have-nots.
Right, yeah. So the ones that the people who have money and wealth and riches, and then on the other side, the people who do not.
Yeah, so we use that phrase, have-nots. Here they just say everybody else, even you don't have to be poor, you just aren't a part of that haves kind of group of people. Well, this is all smack dab in between the two. That phrase smack dab just means exactly or directly. We're using that to mean exactly in the middle of these two things.
Yeah, and I would say this term is a bit informal. Like we won't use it in a presentation, a formal presentation. I would just use it when I'm talking to my friends.
Sure. It's a fun word, though. Yeah. I would say go ahead and use it if you're feeling adventurous. Well, we continue. Chen, again, that is the founder of this architecture firm, saw the rooftop of the building as an opportunity to turn the tables. How is this turning the tables?
Right. So when you turn the tables, you change the situation. So you give the person who was at a disadvantage the advantage now. So we talked about the haves and have-nots, and you need exclusive membership to go see these horse races or polo matches. But here, the have-nots, or just the people who are not the haves, get to look down, and we have that in quotes. But they're actually literally looking down because they're on the rooftop looking down at the grounds below, and they can get a free glimpse. They can view these events without having to pay for them or without a membership.
Sounds pretty good. Yeah, a glimpse is kind of a quick look at something. So they're obviously not getting the kind of view that the people who bought tickets are getting, but they're still able to look down and get a free glimpse.
Well, they don't have to pay for it. So.
Exactly. Yeah, I can think of some sports stadiums that are kind of like this in the U.S., specifically one of them in San Diego. There's a baseball team called the San Diego Padres. Of course, you can buy a ticket to see the game in the stadium, but there's also some space just past the field in the outfield where people will stand and watch the game for free. It's, again, you don't get a great view, but it's
still
pretty good.
Okay, so your view is not blocked by anything?
I think there might be a little bit of mesh there or something.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, you're kind of standing in some sand.
Okay.
But
you still have a view.
Yeah. I might not stay for the full 3 hours, but you could stay for a 15 minutes or so.
Yeah. There is somewhere near my house along the riverside. And this riverside park, they often have big concerts.
Okay, yeah.
And you have to pay a lot of money to get into these concerts. But if you are just on the other side of the river, which is, you know, a park open to everyone, you can get some of that concert. You won't see the light show. You'll just see some of the lights, but you can hear the music. I mean, it's not the ideal place to take in the concert, but again, it's free. You don't have to pay for anything.
Absolutely. A good reminder that if you're traveling or just looking for something fun to do in your city, you don't always have to spend a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Find some good free alternatives and still try and have some fun. Well, we have more to learn about this refurbished or reused building. So let's jump into our next reading.
Form follows experiences. ODA kept 80% of the original structure to create a 160,000 square foot building A quarter of this surface, about 40,000 square feet, is dedicated to public terraces, green spaces, and the open-air promenade. The rest is taken up by restaurants, cafes, and retail spaces. Parking for 250 cars is also available on the ground floor. But the program or function of the building wasn't always clear. The area isn't zoned for residential use, and commercial use wasn't the obvious choice, says Chen, as most companies who could afford rent for a modern office building would opt for a space in downtown Buenos Aires. Retail wasn't obvious either, since the site is so isolated and on the edge of the city. But for many years now, Chen has been honing a new mantra. Form should not follow function anymore. Form should follow experiences, he says. If we design buildings for the human experience, people will visit these buildings and enjoy them, regardless of the program. In other words, build it and they will come, I ask. Build it well and they will come, he says. An important distinction.
All right, this section has an interesting title, and we'll talk about what exactly it means later on. Form follows experiences. We read, ODA kept 80% of the original structure to create a 160,000-square-foot building. So, Linda, they did make some changes to
it. Yes, they did add on something, and that's probably why when you look at the Google Earth photo, it's not exactly the same. So they did add on and change it a bit, but they kept 80% of the original structure.
Exactly, yeah. From my searches, it felt like the biggest difference was just how much glass there is now.
Yes.
Which provides a lot of natural light. It's a good feel to it. Well, a quarter of this surface, that's that 160,000 square feet, about 40,000 square feet, is dedicated to public terraces, green spaces, and the open air promenade. I just wanted to talk a bit more about terraces.
Yeah, so a terrace is an open air space, and it's somewhere where you can go and walk on, or you can set up tables, but it's the important part is that it is an outdoor space and usually elevated.
Yeah. I looked this up, and it felt like there were kind of a couple of different styles of terraces or ways that word is used. It seemed like it's always flat areas that are connected to a building or even a house. You could even think of like a deck outside your house. Or like a larger balcony that's higher up off the ground.
Right. Yeah. I would say it's a balcony, but just bigger with more space.
Right. Yeah. Or it seemed like it could be kind of connected to the ground, but like slightly raised a little bit. Anyways, it's a good place to spend some time. And it is public, like we see. So it's not restricted to exclusive members like the Polo Fields.
Right. Yes. Here, anyone can go to. It's open. And it says the rest of the space, not dedicated to the green spaces and the open air spaces, is taken up by restaurants, cafes, and retail spaces.
Okay, so there's a lot to do, a lot to eat and drink there. And they did keep some of the original usage of the building. There's still parking for 250 cars. That's available on the ground floor. I wonder if that's enough parking for the place.
Well, it did say that it's located near transportation.
Right.
Yeah, public transportation. I'm not sure if it's like a subway or
no. I think we saw it was a train line.
Oh, a train line.
So around there,
there's probably public transportation to the space. So not everyone needs a parking space, but it's still important that they provide parking to make it easier for people to get to.
Yeah, like we had said yesterday, it's not in the most convenient spot in the city. The program or function of the building wasn't always clear, It wasn't always clear what it was going to be used for. We see what we talked about right at the beginning of our show today. The area isn't zoned for residential use. So the government wouldn't have allowed them to use this to just make apartments. It wasn't zoned for that. And commercial use wasn't the obvious choice.
Right. Because like you said before, it's not so easy to get to. And also, if companies wanted to rent office space, then it would make more sense for them to do that just not too far away in downtown Buenos Aires, where it would be more advantageous instead of outside of the city center.
Right. Rent might be a bit more in the city, but at the same time, you're closer to where people want to be. You're closer to other businesses that you might have connections with. And so that didn't make too much sense either. Retail wasn't obvious since the site is so isolated and on the edge of the city. So the purpose of this building really wasn't clear. And so it took kind of a change in the way they thought about how buildings are used. And we see that Chen has been honing a new mantra. That's a great word.
Yes, mantra. So I think of it as a saying, something that you say over and over, something that you believe in. And he was honing this. He was adjusting it, perfecting it, so that this would come true. Form should not follow function anymore. And this is going back to the title of this section, Form Follows Experiences. It's taken from this saying, form follows function. And that's what the mantra usually is for building buildings. Like, you want to build a building to have a certain purpose. And this is what this purpose is, so that you need to create something that follows it.
Right. I don't know that I'm fully convinced by him, but yes, form follows function is a very popular phrase. Just saying, like you said, Linda, the function or how a place is used should be reflected in the form, the shape of it, what it looks like, and how it's designed. Well, Chen is trying to kind of flip that on its head or turn the tables and say that form should follow experiences. So it sounds like he wants to look first at the kinds of experiences people would have when they come here, and then design the place based on that, rather than what it's actually used for. Those do seem kind of closely connected, though.
Right. But he wants to create an experience. That's what he's prioritizing. Not building stores so you can go and shop there, but what will someone experience by coming to this building, and then create the building around that.
Right. Of course, there are probably many other places in the city where you can find restaurants, cafes, and places to walk around, but they are kind of uniquely combined in this special place here to give customers or just people walking through this unique experience. So Chen continues, if we design buildings for the human experience, people will visit these buildings and enjoy them regardless of the program. And we finish up our article here with a great phrase. Linda, I want to know if you know the reference they're making here. Build it and they will come.
It comes from a movie.
It does.
Something with dreams in it.
So
Kevin Costner, right?
Kevin Costner is the actor who plays the main character. The original quote is, if you build it, he will come. It is a movie called Field of Dreams.
Okay, I knew Dreams was in it somewhere.
So in the U.S., I feel like this has changed a bit, but for a long time, sports movies were huge. Mm-hmm. And this is a baseball movie about a guy who has a dream. He had kind of a poor relationship with his father growing up. His father has passed away, and he lives in rural America. And now he has a dream that he needs to build a baseball field in his cornfields.
Right.
And if he builds it, the ghost of his father will come and visit. And it's a very beloved movie for a lot of people.
Yes, it did really well, I think. I haven't seen the entire movie. I do remember seeing the trailer. But what was interesting about him building that baseball stadium there, there are no other people around because it's in the middle of a field. And also, yeah, there wasn't even a baseball team around, right? Or
something like that? Well, so you get kind of the spirits of a lot of famous baseball players that have passed away, kind of come back and visit. And there's a lot of interesting interaction. Anyways, the idea here is if you build this building, people will come. You don't need to worry about having those customers beforehand. Just worry about building it well. That's
key, right?
Yeah, the mantra or the main idea that Chen is giving us here. And so it sounds like they have succeeded.
It does, yeah. But that important distinction that he made is you have to build the building well.
Exactly.
Not just any building.
All right, friends. Well, maybe you can someday visit the Ola Palermo if you're ever in Buenos Aires. We've had a great time talking with you, but that's all for today. My name is Garrett.
I'm Linda.
And we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.